Do you remember the things that you believed before you got saved about the resurrection? All the camouflage smoke and mirrors that the devil gives you? Say, well, he really didn't die. No, the Bible talks about infallible proofs about his death, burial, and resurrection. And the proof is there. But you still got to believe it. It's the only prerequisite to getting saved is that you believe it. Not just believe it, but confess him as your Lord and Savior. That if we shall confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If it's any more complicated than that, it's not fair. It's not right. Because all he requires is your faith. And your faith is released in your confession of faith. And that seals the deal. Praise God. Somebody say, are you one of those faith people? Well, if you consider the alternative, yes. Faith pleases God. You can't get saved without faith. It pleases your Father. He loves it when we stand in faith and walk in faith and just believe him regardless of what we see, what we feel, what the world says. This world when is going to melt with fervent heat. But Jesus said, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So if you're standing on his word, guess who's going to be standing when all is said and done, when the heat hits it? Amen. Praise God. And that goes for all the fiery trials that you experience here. Stand on the word. Don't get off it. Don't believe the devil. I love Dwight's message today. I love John's message today about communion. Look, it's a sealed deal. Praise God. Well, let's get right into our weekly confession here. Let's declare this together. Are you ready? We are. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Now, before we go into our text this morning and this series that we're doing this month in living a redeemed life, we're going to find, what does that look like? How do you do that? What does that mean? What does that entail? How do we live a redeemed, redeemed from what? We're going to find out. But before that, I want to go into, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at some things first as we approach this with the right heart, with the right mind set. In verse 12, Peter speaking, he said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it is meet, that means he thinks it's fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, he's talking about his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And in these four verses, he says remembrance three times. It's important that we remember. It's important that we remember. Let's go back here to verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase, right? So if you're speaking to people who have, and he went to Corinth, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he said, when he first got there, they never heard the gospel, they never heard anything. And so we talked about this Wednesday at Healing University too. But when he spoke to people who never heard the truth before, the gospel before, that's planting. But when you're speaking to folks who already have heard, that's watering. The seed needs watering. You need to be put in remembrance. I need to be put in remembrance all the time. You ever notice that faith doesn't come from having heard? You there? Faith doesn't come by having heard, just because you know these things. He says, even though you know these, he says, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, by way of remembrance and reminding you of everything you are, everything you have, all you can do, and where you are seated. Come on! Well, who are you? What? You're a child of the living God. This is just a brief vapor, this life. But who you are and who you've been made to be, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation. I got three amens and a nod. I got to light you up today. I can tell that there's going to have to be some electricity going on here, some fire. I got to get you lit. But don't wait for me. You get yourself stirred up. Let the truth, if the word of God can't stir you up, nothing can. Nothing worth it can, anyways. The seed needs watering. Not just once, and you go back and next month and water it again. No, it needs watering every day. This is your daily bread. This is the moment by moment. The presence of God is always there. He's always with you all the time. And just a slight little watering of the word. And then God will give the increase. And this is where your faith comes alive. Because it's not just information. When it gets down on the inside of you and it starts to grow and to blossom in your heart, guess what? That becomes revelation. And once it's revealed to you, once the truth is revealed to you, the devil cannot take it away from you. Amen. Whatever you receive at the feet of Jesus cannot be taken from you. He told that to Mary. He told that to Martha, actually, that what Mary chose to listen to him, to hear him, to put him first and his word first. See, I said that a few weeks ago, and I'm still reminding you of it. I'm bringing you remembrance. Praise God. So what did Peter say? He said, I think it is right to stir you up and to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Truth never changed, but time and situations changes. We live in a changing world. Time measures change. And as we go through time, we go through changes. Situations change. I've seen lives changed on a dime in a second. But the truth never changed. And it's important that you build that truth into your heart so that when things change and they take a bad turn, it'll be a present truth to you. It will be truth to you in the present, and that truth can make you absolutely free. Yeah. It can dissolve those cares and worries and fears like that. But you got to give it first place. The plan of redemption is an amazing thing. How would you have liked to be in that throne room right there with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as one, planning out the plan of redemption, judging the devil at the same time he freed you, at the same time he rescued you and defeated your enemy, forgave you of all your sins, and in doing so, condemn the devil forever. He's gone. He's a goner. He's just hell waiting to happen. I don't know a nicer way of putting that. I don't think there is a nice thing to say about that. But praise God. You know, you got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. Present tense. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's like a hammer. It's like that breaks up the fallowed ground. It keeps on coming and coming and coming. And it starts to light up. And when it gets light, you see how bad things really are in you, and you can tend to back off, but that's the time to get more light and get that stuff out of you. Yes. And to get it yourself free from it. Let the word of God do it. It has a pounding effect on you. The light, the power of God, if it was going to hurt you or condemn you, it wouldn't come from God. He gives you the light to free you. He said this to Nicodemus. He said, everybody who is of the light comes to the light. But those who are of the darkness shrink back. He said they hide themselves from the light because their deeds are evil. Don't let your deeds define you. Jesus already defined everything the Word of God says about that we were sinners. There is no good or bad or this much sin or this much sin. Sin is sin. He died for all of us. Even the worst gutter-ridden sinner, the moment that he says, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. That sinner, that gutter-ridden drunk, whatever he was, now becomes the righteousness of God in Christ. He doesn't have a past. It's gone. He's brand new. He's born anew. Isn't that good news? Praise God. That's what redemption is all about. You know, hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I remember one time Brother Hagin was sharing this. He said he visited this church. You know, when he went in the field ministry, he'd run meetings that lasted 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And he went to this one church for a 3 week period, then another time for a 2 week period, then another. And it's like a fifth or sixth time that he's been at this church. And he has in his notes, he preached on faith 9 times. And he got up to, and it was Sunday morning now, and the pastor said, why don't you take the service and just you preach this morning? And he said, well, this is going to be a pastoral message. So he started off with something that God told him to preach faith. Again, he said, no, I've already done that. He thought it was his own thoughts. And so he started preaching on some pastoral message. And he got about 5 minutes into the thing, and he just couldn't get into it. And he told the people, he says, you know what? I missed it. Somebody said, isn't that embarrassing to say you missed it? He said, no, I'm not embarrassed at all. I'm just joining the rest of them. I'm no different from you. You're no different. We all, it's the same liar lying to all of us out there. And the truth is what we need to really pull forth. Yes. Excuse me. After, so he went back and he preached, turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24. And he started preaching faith. Those are the two scriptures that Kenneth Hagin wrote. People think that anyways, but he didn't. Jesus said that. So he preached on faith. Afterwards, this guy came up, and he knew that this man was an important man. He was one of the higher-ups in a company, in a national company, and he was stationed right there in this place in Texas. And he said, Brother Hagin, he said, here's my Bible. In the margin, I've marked by Mark 11, 23, the date of every time I heard you, and I've heard, this is the 10th time I've heard you preach on faith from Mark 11, 23 and 24. And he thought that he was going to say, why don't you preach something else? But he didn't say that. He said, every one of these times, the date here and date you came and preached on faith, and he says, you know what? This morning, I got it. Aren't you glad that Brother Hagin preached faith? Yeah. Aren't you glad that he dug in and said, and changed tracks and said, I'm not going to do what I want to do? See, there's a lot of things I could say here to make me look good. No, that's not what this is all about. No preacher should get up there on his own agenda. I don't have an agenda. People say, well, what's your vision? I don't write my plans. I receive them from him. He knows the needs of your heart. That's why it's important to keep the person who's speaking into your life. Keep Dwight in prayer. Keep John, whoever's speaking into your life, keep them in prayer, because here's the thing. God sees that, and he can make them say what you absolutely need. It's really important. Communion, what John shared this morning, it's a giving and receiving. It's including God in this whole thing. God is your source of all things. Okay, so now my text. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Excuse me. That's got to go. Christ has. This is not something he's going to do in the future, is it? This is something he's already done. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. When John said that this morning about communion, you know, it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And if you look up that word means crush. His fist came down on him. I got one, thanks. But you know what? You're good, man. Cheers. Thank you, Izzy. That was a sweet thought. Thank you. Christ has redeemed. Everybody say, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, Lord, show me what the curse of the law is. Because I've been redeemed from it, you know. You've got to know what you've been redeemed from. But here it says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? Why did he become a curse for us? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You notice he didn't say that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith in Christ. No, you put your faith in Christ, and once you've done that, the blessing is automatic. It's on you. You just need to know how to operate in it. That's why it's important to understand the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed, blessed, blessed. This is how you operate in the blessing, and then the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is how to operate in. What is poor in spirit? It's realizing that you have nothing. God has everything. If anything is wrong, if anything needs changing, it's me. It's not God. He has everything altogether. That's Haven. I recognize that voice. Praise God. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, once you are in Christ, you become eligible to receive the Holy Spirit. It's two different things. When you're born again, you have the Spirit of Christ. That's Jesus himself being formed in you. And there is absolutely no difference in your spirit. You are wall-to-wall Jesus. Son of God, child of God. Everything in your spirit. Now, your mind needs to be renewed, and you need to present your body as a living sacrifice. Those are the other two parts of you that haven't been redeemed, but your spirit has been. But the provisions for healing, deliverance, and all that is built into our covenant. He didn't leave that out, did he? Christ the healer. You know what? Healing, I think, was like 80% of his ministry. It's important to him. So turn with me to Deuteronomy. You know, the law that Paul was talking about here in Galatians 3, the curse of the law, the books of the law. The law is not just the Ten Commandments in the Bible. The law is the first five books of the Bible. And in those books are the laws of life, the laws of beginnings, the laws of deliverance and so forth are in there. The law of offerings, everything. It's in the book of the law, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 says this. This is God speaking through Moses. He said, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Are you hearing me? Do you hear what this says? Now, if you look at this commandment here, this word commandment, if you paraphrase this over into the New Testament commandment, Jesus said in John 13, 34, is it? 34? 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's kind of strange wording of King James, kind of blind to us. But he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. You have received love in order to give love. You receive blessing in order to bless others. You have received forgiveness in order to show forgiveness. You have received mercy. You see, God gave you a jump start. And then it says, if you're merciful, you'll receive mercy. Got it? Yes. Let me say that again. I don't know if I can. God just loves you guys. Yeah. See, if you love, you're not going to want to steal. If you love, you're not going to want to kill. It says in Romans chapter 13, it says this, verse 10, says, love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of all the law. Somebody said, are you saying we don't have to obey the Ten Commandments? No, we obey the law of love, Jesus' commandment. And if you love the way he told us to love, then you won't break the ten. I said, if you walk in love, it's the fulfilling of the whole law. You won't break the other ten if you're walking in love. Why? Because that walk of love puts you far above. It puts you in the same category where Jesus is. Why would he tell us about agape love if we couldn't do it? Hello? Yes. Why would he tell us, go into that whole thing in 1 Corinthians? That's a lot of New Testament real estate right there about love in 1 Corinthians. Why would he teach us about those things if he knew we couldn't do it? Well, we can't, but the Holy Spirit in us can. See what I mean? You got to yield to the Holy Ghost. He's your friend. He's your guide. He's your support. He leads you and guides you into all truth. Amen. And what does the truth do for you? Makes you free. These are things you got to remember. Excuse me. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, let me read that. Maybe I'll just take my Bible. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to what? Do. Do all his commandments which I command you. So you got to be a doer of the word. And so diligently, the voice, be watchful to do his commandment of love, which I command you this day, which Jesus did at the Last Supper. The Lord your God will set you high above. You know, he doesn't ask much. He just asks you to love the way you were loved by him. Isn't that simple? It takes outside help to misunderstand this. Lord will set you above all nations. Above all nations. So we keep the commandment of love. And love will keep you. That's what the book of 1 John is all about, that. Love will keep you. Look at verse 2. It says, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall you be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle and the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. That's your business, guys. Blessed shall you be when you come in and go out. Blessed, hey, look, verse 7, the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. So if somebody comes against you, say, look, you don't want to do that. Just take my word for it. They shall come out against you one way and flee seven ways. Man, they go seven ways from Sunday. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouses. That's your investments, your savings accounts and everything. You know, Brother Hagin did this one time. He bought some tax-free municipal bonds. I mean, you know, what a lot, you know, you'd think. But the Lord told him to do it. So he had like $2,000. It was like all the money he had at the time. And he put it in there. And he just kept on going, preaching, doing what he was doing. And, you know, he got a report on his holdings there, and it went up to $500,000. $2,000, $500,000. You know, God will show you where these places are if you put him first. And then a few years later, it went up to over $1 million. You hearing me? God knows where. You know, think of Psalm 3. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. You know where it talks about the man who's blessed? He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't do all of that. He doesn't sit in the way of sinners or stand in the way with them. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will be a failure. Is that what it says? The devil will tell you that. The devil will tell you, if you do that, you'll be a failure. If you follow God, man, I'm telling you, you got to be all in. Otherwise, well, I am all in. I left that old life. All I want is him. But the devil will tell you, no, you're going to fall on your nose. You're going to be flat. You're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be this, that, and you're going to be, you're not going to have, you'll be day late and dark short all the time. You heed me. What's that? False evidence appearing real? Fear. No, God said, whatever he does will prosper. It will prosper. It will prosper. He says this in the blessing of Abraham. Everything you put your hand to will prosper. But then what does he say in verse 10? Let's see. And all the people there shall see, and they will you'll be called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The land. The land. The land. What does the land represent in the New Testament? In the New Covenant? The land was the promised land. So in the New Covenant, what that translates into is the promises of God. And you find out that there is neither Jew nor Gentile. So this doesn't just belong to the Jews. This is for everybody who believes in Christ. What does it say in Galatians chapter 3? Let's go to verse 27, I think it is. Are you there, Stephen? For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile. There is neither bond or free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is not just, you know, the devil will tell you, oh, that's just for the Jews. He wore that one out on Brother Hagin. He wore it out on me, too. That you can't be delivered from all of that. No, not you. See, you're different. You have problems. Has he ever tried to sell that to you?
Oh, yeah.
See, you're different. You, That may be good for some, the select few, but not for you. No, if you are Christ and you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? All the promises of the Old Testament, all the promises of the New Testament. You'll find out as you study this thing and the word comes alive inside of you that the Old Testament is really the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and it all comes to life and it all belongs to me. Because he gave it to me. That blood bought it for me. That body was broken and gave it all to me. Healing. Yeah. Look at Acts 10. Look, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Jesus called sickness oppression of the devil. It is not of God. That's under. In fact, we can go into the curse of the law here. The curse of, this is the law. Deuteronomy is part of the law. Let's go to verse 15. In fact, let me read it right out of here. I don't. Are you getting lit? Somebody says, yeah, I used to be lit, but I matured. What? Yeah, you gotta. You can't be too excited, otherwise you'll be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Pooey! You're gonna need that. You need to let that fall to the ground and spit on it. That is such a lie, because the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you are. Don't bring up your kids to be successful in this world. Bring them out to be successful in heaven, and they'll just naturally be successful in this world. Right? How's that working? You know, Leah's amazing. The stuff, homeschooling her kids. Have they had problems? Yeah, everybody does. Everybody gets attacked. Everybody, you know. But here's the thing. Stay on it. Stay on it. And when the devil finds out that he can't win, that he can't win, that he can't win, that he won't win, that he won't win, and you can start telling him, devil, I'm no different than Jesus is. Because as he is, so am I in this world. It's right out of the Bible. He knows that. As he is, so am I in this world. Your identity in Christ is everything. You need to understand that you represent him, that his name is your name, that his that everything that he got by inheritance is yours. There was one praise God, Izzy, thank you. You know, you can't look at this as fluff, as this is like pie in the sky stuff. No, this is the reality. And if you dig deep enough into that foundation, you can build something on it. And it's a life worth living. Praise the Lord. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these what? Curses will come. Curse shall be in the city. Curse shall be in the field. Curse shall be your basket and your store, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land. Da, 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 da. And then he lists about 11 different diseases. And he goes on and on and on. And he calls this every, and look at verse, let's look at verse 58. If you would not observe to do all the works of this law, the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and fearful name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful. And plagues of thy seed, and this is your kids, this is your generations. Even great plagues, and of long continuance of sore sicknesses and long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you. Now, how many of you know Dr. Robert Young? He was the author of Young's Concordance. He's a Greek and Hebrew scholar. He also wrote Young's literal translation, really particular on accuracy. Dr. Robert Young. And he made mention of this one time. He wrote a book called Hints to Bible Interpretation. It was out of print. You can still get it, though. hints to Bible interpretation, and he said this. In the Hebrew, that it was actually recorded in the King James, it's recorded as in the causative sense that God will smite you and God will do this. But is actually, in the Hebrew, it is written in the permissive sense. So that, in other words, if you don't do this, he has no choice but to allow those things to come upon you. But if you obey him, his hand will be there against. See, this is covenant stuff. You, if you choose to follow God, he is there, backing you up. I like that in Blue Bloods. The commissioner says, you know, to all of his officers, and he says, if you do your job and you do it right, I will back you to the hilt. And if you do the word of God, all of heaven will back you up. So he's saying this. So when you read this in the causative in the King James, it's really in the passive or the permissive strength. Moreover, he will, because he, how many diseases are there in heaven? Does God have any diseases?
No.
So why, how can he smite you with diseases? It just doesn't make sense. It's against his nature. Death is not God's nature. That's why Jesus was shrinking so much. His natural man, he was a human being. And his natural man was resisting death. It's so foreign to him. He was resisting the pain. And he started to sweat drops of blood in that garden. But he gave it all over to the Lord. And he says, not mine. See, he had a will of his own, but not my will, but yours. And the devil couldn't do a thing about it. All of a sudden, it got real easy for him to attack Jesus. He should have known what was coming, but he's too dumb. He doesn't understand these things. He has no foresight. He just wants what he wants now. Verse 60, moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt which you were afraid of and shall cleave to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book will come upon you. Every sickness and disease is under the curse. The reason I'm telling you that is not to condemn you. It's to let you know that you have been redeemed from it. You don't have to put up with it. Take the word of God and slam it up against that thing. Take the word of God and slam it up. Jesus showed us that the devil has no defense for the word of God. It is written. It is written. He was quoting the Bible. That's if you can't remember it up here, if it's not stirred up in you to remember, take it out and look at it and read it out loud and say, devil, I don't know whether you can read or not, but if you can't, just in case you can, I'll tell you what it says. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from every sickness and disease that there is. I have been redeemed from spiritual death. I have been redeemed from poverty. I have been redeemed from lack and everything. And fear, I've been, and sudden terror, I've been delivered from all of it. So take your stuff and get out. In the name of Jesus. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That woman, remember the woman? Luke 13, she was bowed over like this.
Yes.
And Jesus was teaching in the synagogues, and when he saw her, he called her and said, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity.
Yes.
And she was immediately straightened up. After 18 years. And then the guy got mad because he did it on the Sabbath.
Right.
Well, she'd been there 18 years. He hadn't done anything for her. And Jesus came by and says, you're loose from your infirmity. He says, man, you treat your donkey and your dogs better than you do this daughter of Abraham. And he said she ought to be healed.
Amen.
Why? Because she's got a covenant with God. She's a daughter of Abraham. He said she ought to be loosed. Are you getting stirred up by way of remembrance of all these things that you've heard before over and over and over again? And you kind of let them go, hey, nah, I'm on. And you got tired of trying to believe? No. You meditate on the word, and the word will do that work for you. The word will change it. How about, nah, I better not go there. It's 10 past lunch. Here's the thing. Amos 4:6. I don't think I included that. Amos 4:6. Prophet Amos. He said, my people. Is that Amos 4:6? What Bible you got? I finally made a mistake. Amos 4:6. Well, Amos said this. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What scripture is that? Hosea 4:6. I knew that. You guys flunked. I was just testing. No, Hosea 4:6 says, my people, not the devil's people, my people are destroyed for what? Ignorance. Ignorance of the scriptures. Being illiterate of the scriptures. What does the Bible really say? So let me sum it all up by saying this. The Bible is about two people. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people in it, but it's really literally about two people. It's about the first Adam and the last Adam. Once you get that figured out, redemption makes all the sense in the world to you. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, it destroyed everything that Satan did all the way back to Adam and his works. You have been raised up far above all of that. The Bible is about two people, and you are part of the last Adam. He's not the second Adam. Because after Jesus got through with the devil, you don't need another one. He's the last Adam of heaven, where the first Adam is earthy, earth, of the earth. He is of heaven, and he is in us, so we are now of heaven. Amen. Citizens of heaven. And as citizens, you have rights. I'm going to get into this next week, and we're going to look at some things. You're going to... This thing's going to explode as we go on. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our faith, that you are the refiner of it, that you have everything in mind for us that we possibly need, and you have already provided it. Help us to open our eyes to see the reality of the treasures that we have in your word that you say are ours. That we have this treasure in our earthen vessel so that the excellency of the power might be of him, be of you, Father. So that we, having the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. And we realize that our salvation and our provisions and the door to the supernatural rotates on two hinges, believing and speaking. So we believe and therefore we speak the realities that you have already given to us in your word. Promises that will endure. In Jesus' name, amen.